So now we're about 30 minutes into the movie, and Tom Hanks finally decides that he can't fix this all himself and he needs to hire a contractor. And there are just as many warning signs in the contractor as there were buying the home as well. I mean, the warning signs are just binging everywhere, and they continue to just ignore them, continue into this money pit that they're diving themselves into. There's even a line somewhere along the way where Tom Hanks turns to Shelley and says, "You know, despite being in debt beyond my wildest dreams, I really do like the house, honey." I don't know if he's just defeated at that point and he doesn't mind going further into debt. He's already made a bad decision on the home, and he's in an extremely desperate situation now to find somebody to help him fix it. And it starts by the first phone call. You see him talking to the contractor, and he says, "Well, how much money do you make?" If you're on the phone with somebody and they're trying to get financial information out of you, don't give it to them. Sure, when they come out, there's going to be a price. Money's going to have to be talked about, because if you're hiring a contractor, it's obviously going to cost you something. And if we're doing a remodel or a renovation, our expenses can climb extremely quick. But in no circumstance should they ever be asking you about how much money you make. How you finance your projects in your home is completely up to you. Don't let somebody push you around about the money side of things. I know that's a very easy thing to fall into a trap of, where you're proud or you want to be boastful or you're a little bit arrogant about your earnings. All you're doing is giving that person that much more of a rope to hang you with. Because they get strung out the whole rest of this movie with this ongoing theme during construction of, "Oh, 2 weeks. Oh, that'll take 2 weeks. Oh, we'll be done in 2 weeks. Oh, 2 weeks." The second part is when they show up on site. It's the Shirk brothers are the contractors that do the work in this movie. And this is a real home. It's on Long Island in on about a 5-acre parcel, if I remember correctly, that at the time of the movie was already 90 years old by itself. So the amount of expense that could potentially be here getting all the electrical systems upgraded by itself could be a second mortgage. But the contractor shows up, one of the brothers, and he's the carpenter, and immediately starts coming on to Shelley. And it makes her very mad, and she's trying to kick him out. And Tom Hanks helps start pushing him out. Then he's like, "Who are you anyway?" He's like, "I'm the carpenter. I'll be going now." Well, then Tom Hanks completely reverses it. And he's like, "He's supposed to be really good. He's supposed to be really good. Can't we make this exception?" Like, you don't make an exception for somebody that's a great carpenter that obviously has very questionable principles. So then his brother shows up later. And Tom Hanks asks, "What can I get you?" And he goes, "You can start by offering me a drink." And it's 11 o'clock in the morning. Tom Hanks even challenges him on that a little bit. He's like, "Oh, yes, 11 o'clock. I'm sorry. You must be parched. Where are my manners?" And a few seconds later, he's storming out of the home and drinks, I think it was scotch, but what looked like 3 or 4 ounces of scotch. And he's standing there at his car and he holds his glass out again. Tom Hanks fills it up again. He downs that and says, "Well, if you give me a down payment today before I change my mind, because I'm in a nice mood, or I'm giving you an offer," whatever the case may be. But right there, Tom Hanks breaks out a checkbook and writes him $5,000 to a guy that just consumes 6 or 8 ounces of scotch and gets in a vehicle and drives away. That's not who you want to give your money to. And no work has started yet at this point. There's a part where they're covering bids, and they are extremely, this was probably the most realistic part of the movie, where they're looking at bids and it's like, "It can't be that much." And he's all, "Are you kidding? You should see the bids from legitimate contractors. It's 4 times this amount." Well, first of all, 4 times off, that's a huge red flag. Sure, you could have an extremely high-end bid that's 4 times more than, you know, a touch-up job. So you've got to compare apples to apples. What was the 4 times the amount bid offering, and what was the Shirk brothers bid offering? A big part in getting estimates for remodeling projects is to get a list of exclusions. You don't realize how many items a remodeling project could exclude that you just assume are included. It's a remodel. I'm redoing everything. So everything should be included. Lots of little things aren't. And those little things start adding up to big numbers. So they make the bad decision to buy the house on a rush. They make the bad decision to go with the Shirk brothers that they admit aren't a legitimate contracting company. And then they let them start the work. This is probably one of the funniest scenes in the entire movie, where they're waking up in the morning and they hear this sound rumbling from outside, and they go out and they look, and here comes Shirk Brothers Contracting to perform the work on the home, and they've got the craziest assembly of vehicles and motorcycles and wrecking equipment and guys that look like they're from biker gangs just out of prison, just pulled out of the bar from the night before. I mean, a couple of these guys were probably playing darts and shooting pool 4 hours before this, and they come and just start tearing apart everything. Now, the actual demolition on the house wasn't real. That was done in a studio. This home has been completely renovated a couple times over its 100-plus life cycle, but none of the actual work scenes were the home itself, which only added to the end cost that they ended up having to pay to get the home fixed, because there were so many things to the exterior that they just started breaking down the siding that wasn't even part of the problem at all. And in fact, throughout the course of the construction of this project, the exterior is very rarely shown. It's mainly all the interior, but all the demolition from day one is on the outside. And another common theme that kept coming up is, aside from the contractor taking 2 weeks, 2 weeks, 2 weeks, everyone that kept showing up kept saying, it looks like they're testing missiles here. It looks like they're testing missiles here, because of all the debris and rubble and how poorly this job is being executed. That is one tip we always use when we're directing people on how to select a contractor. Make them take you, the potential customer, to any one of their job sites, or any two or three, and at random. You want to show up and see how clean are they keeping the home, how safe are they keeping the work environment, how are they handling the homeowner. There were two parts in the money pit that should have been a huge red flag. There's a mountain, it looks like a rat's nest, of electrical cables all piled on top of each other. And Shelly's just trying to get the coffee maker to work, and she's adjusting plugs here and there. And first of all, you could never have pulled that much power from that rat's nest to operate all the tools that they had on site. But second on that is how they're treating the homeowner. There's a part Shelly goes into her bathroom and opens up her medicine cabinet to brush her teeth and, what would be generally a cabinet. There's another contractor there, and he's got all of her personal items there and even comments on them. And it's an extremely uncomfortable scene and situation. So talk to the homeowner that this contractor you're interviewing is performing work on, and see how they handle your living environment, because it is a very difficult thing. It's a frustrating point. I don't know that you could ever get through a remodeling contract while you're living in the home and having the contractor remodel it, that you don't just have days where you sit there and, gosh, I just wish this was over. It's such a disruption to your life. You start questioning, was this even the right thing to do? Properly done, properly executed, and properly finished, it's absolutely worth it and many times needed on old homes. But living with the contractor while they're in your home and in your space and disrupting your lifestyle, which is the place that you go to rest at the end of your long work day to re-energize for the next day or the next week, it's exhausting. So check on that relationship between the contractor, the tradesman, and the customer that they're doing the work on. Okay. And then not only the relationship they're having, but all the workers on site. I'm not saying they all need to be great communicators. In fact, most of them won't be. As long as you've got one great foreman there, the rest of the workers don't need to be, but they need to be aware and they need to be paying attention. The funniest scene in the entire movie all starts with Tom Hanks trying to go get some water to bring upstairs for a bath. And he comes out, and there's a set of stairs, and he's so excited to finally have stairs instead of having to climb up and down this extension ladder they'd been using. He starts almost crying and breaking down, and everything's going to be okay. We've got stairs again. So he goes and tells Shelly, and she's like, great, I need the water. And he's like, I'm going. And he goes back, and one of the workers interrupts him and starts talking to him. Well, where he interrupted him was on a plank that was suspended over a drop down to the first floor. So he stops, turns around, and is talking to one of the workers there, while another workman, moves the plank over, and Tom Hanks then finishes talking to this other contractor, turns around, and goes back to step where the plank was a few seconds ago without looking, and it's there, and he falls through. It launches this table saw up into the air. It ends up cutting a support beam that drops this wheelbarrow back down on the other side of this plank Tom Hanks lands on that launches him back up and out of the roof, and he lands in the bucket of plaster, ends up on top of the roof trying to get himself reorientated, falls down the trash chute, or falls into the trash chute that then falls over and collapses the entire exterior of all the scaffolding that sends him in a chute bucket down to the pond where the little statue pees on his head. All of this could have been avoided had the worker on the second floor alerted everyone else that he was changing where this plank over this opening in the floor was. He's making that adjustment. That's his responsibility to make sure everyone else is aware. And this leads us to the final segment where we cover the actual money and what we estimate the cost of this remodel would be and how that compares to what the original listing price should have been.
What the hell was that?
All I did was turn on the water.
That's all? That doesn't sound good.
No. You should see the... I guess it's the water. I don't know. It's revolting.
Okay. So the plumbing's not perfect. We'll get it fixed. It's not the end of the world.
You didn't see that water.
Look, this is an old house. It's going to need some work. You've got to expect that.
I didn't expect that water. It had legs.
A little work, a little care, a little imagination, and it's going to be great. It's going to be fun fixing it up. You'll see.
I don't know, Walter. I've never been any good at that kind of thing.
What kind of thing?
Work.
Well, you can't go into it with that kind of an attitude. You gotta be more positive.
I'll try. A little care, a little imagination, and a positive attitude.
What was that?
Nothing, dear.